This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Post-match chat with chaps. For that Millwall podcast, where it finished at the Den. Millwall won. Preston North End won. A game that we started very brightly, just as we did against Middlesbrough, but yet again, we failed to take all 3 points. Disappointing, to be honest, and a game that, given their form coming into it and the way in which we started the game, we've got to be looking to take 3 points from that. And if I'm honest, I don't really think we deserve to. We huffed and puffed, but didn't really create enough clear-cut chances, despite having 17 shots on goal and 8 on target. But look, let's get into it. Let's talk about the lineup to start with, as normal. So in goal, Sarkic kept his place. The back three, I felt a bit for Danny Mac. Danny Mac was dropped today. I assume he was dropped. Japhet Tanganga came in to the starting lineup on the right side of the back three. Harding in the middle, Cooper on the left with the armband. The two wing-backs was Joe Bryan and Brooke Norton-Cuffey. And then possibly, again, the most surprising was Billy Mitchell and George Honeyman retaining their place in the centre of the park. Now, you know, did they do anything to deserve being dropped? Possibly not, but ultimately the performance was so bad against QPR, you probably could have changed anything. So I was very surprised to see both of those start today. And then a front three, a Duncan Watmore ruled out with illness, a front three of Zian Fleming down the middle with Kevin Nisbet on the left and Ryan Longman on the right-hand side, obviously coming in for Duncan Watmore. That meant a place on the bench for the new signing, Michael Obafemi. Clearly not match fit yet, hence he actually came on 78, but not match fit yet. In terms of other attacking options on the bench, obviously still no Emaku, no Bradshaw. So Romain Essay was the only other real kind of attacking option on the bench. For Preston, look, they come into this game on the back of some really poor form. They didn't play badly against Leeds last week when they drew the game 1-1. Got some good players, in fairness. You know, the likes of, obviously, Emil Reese up front. They've got Brad Potts, who I've always quite liked. So they've got some good players and they're quite defensively strong. And the way I would summarise the whole game without getting into too much detail is we feel today our probably teams felt for a long time playing against us under Rowett, in the sense that they didn't play particularly good football. I don't think they've got individuals that are as good as some others in the league. They're pretty boring to watch. But defensively, they were fairly solid. Clearly, after an hour mark, it was obvious they were coming for a point and they got it. And they could have nicked all three. They probably had the best chance of the second half. So, look, you know, it's Ryan Lowe must have gone to the same school as Gary Rowett did in terms of style of play. But ultimately, as Edwards said in his post-match, that's on us. That's on us to try and break them down. And we didn't do anywhere near enough. We had a lot of the ball second half, but we didn't really create any clear-cut chances. But we'll get into that. So yesterday was Mill's Memorial Day, which for me personally was a nice moment to reflect on my granddad who passed in 2023. So seeing his name on the screen and obviously the flowers. And I have to say as well, credit to Preston fans because they joined in the celebration with us of all those that lost their lives in 2023. So just want to give credit to Preston fans for that. But we kick off, and it's much of the same against the, you know, similar to how we started against Middlesbrough. And we get a goal with our first opportunity. So the goal comes from Tanganga getting the ball and driving, stepping out, like Leonard does, driving with the ball, stepping out. He finds Brooknott and Cuffy, who drives towards the byline, gets to the byline. He's got two players on him, cuts it back to Honeyman. First time, whipped cross, super cross, into the penalty area. And there is Ian Fleming, unmarked, powers the header into Freddie Woodman's empty net. And we go 1-0 up, and just what we wanted, you know, really started front foot and playing some really good stuff, to be fair. You know, getting out of tight situations as well, just like that we've been playing at home for a little while now. And we, our biggest mistake was not capitalizing on the first 30 minutes worth of pressure. So we didn't really create too many clear-cut chances in that first 30 minutes. The only other chance that I remember was another ball that come over from Norton Cuffey. It went all the way to the edge of the area. Ian Fleming does really well to keep it in, plays it back to Billy Mitchell, and a tame effort on goal. But that was our only real chance, and that is where the error was, because I'm telling you now, Preston, I have never seen a side put the ball out by accident so much in all my life at the Den. For that first 20, 30 minutes, they looked a very poor side and a side that had zero confidence. And we just didn't punish them. We can't sit here and say, oh, you know, we had loads of opportunities like we did against Middlesbrough that we didn't take. We didn't have opportunities, really. And then they had a warning sign with a Liam Miller chance, but then, you know, we gift them a goal. And it's just a ridiculous goal to concede. So as good as Tanganga was over the 90 minutes, I think he has to take responsibility for this error. So he has the ball. We're in possession. There's no danger. And he passes it straight to their man, who's sort of on the centre circle. And this is the thing. And I can only see it from the angles of the highlights. So I can't see loads of different angles. But Joe Bryan is nowhere to be seen. So he passes it into, I think it's into Frocchiar. Frocchiar plays a 1-2 with someone, and Frocchiar then finds Brad Potts, who's just absolutely bombing it down the right-hand side. And as I say, Brian's nowhere to be seen. Now, what I would say, and you know I've been very critical of Brian in recent weeks, is that in fairness to Brian, we can't sit here and say he's nowhere near, you know, he's not goal side of his man, for example, because we got the ball. We're attacking. It's a real weird one. So I can't recall live Joe Bryan's positioning, because I was obviously looking at Tanganga making the pass. But he's nowhere to be seen. And Potts drives with a ball, fires it low and hard. Could Sarkic have done better? Maybe. I wouldn't necessarily blame him, though. And it's 1-1, I think, on 33 minutes. And then, being completely honest, between 33 and half-time, there was only one team in it, and it wasn't us. We were atrocious. We let our heads drop. And this happens far too often. We lack leadership. We let our heads drop, and they don't necessarily create any clear-cut chances, but they're all over us for that last 10, 15 minutes. It was appalling, and you could see the impact that goal, that single goal, the confidence that it gave to Preston and the confidence it sapped from us. Completely two different sides, and you go in at half-time kind of like almost wondering how that's happened. And as I say, we could have easily gone at half-time losing after that. It was very, very odd. Yeah, so we're going at half-time. One thing I did find a little bit strange was we're playing a front three with Fleming down the middle, which I think Fleming did have impact, but playing Nisbet on the left-hand side was just... He's not a left-winger. He's not. And I don't know whether that was deliberate or he was just drifting, but we found him way too often on the left-hand side. And Longman... I'm sorry, I quite like Ryan Longman. I think he's a good utility player, but he's not a forward. He's not a forward. And he goes off injured, I think, at halftime because he had a bit of a knock on his shoulder halfway through the second half. But he was poor, really poor in that first half, completely out of the game in reality. And at halftime, we make the substitution. And if Obafemi's not fit to last 45 minutes, there's only one other player we can bring on, and that is Romain Esa. And I'm sure Edward said to SA, obviously mind reader that I am, just said, look, you've got 45 minutes here, son. Go and prove yourself. And I don't really think he did. Again, you know, we'll go on to player reviews later on. I'm not saying he played badly, but I don't really think he did enough again. No one did, in fairness. I'm not criticising him specifically. I'm just saying if he's got 45 minutes to go and impress, I don't really feel he took that opportunity. But look, half-time comes, as I say, SA comes on for Ryan Longman. Let's make no mistake about it. From a possession point of view, from a territory point of view, we dominated the second half. However, from a opportunity point of view, Preston had the best chance. And that was, I think, on 85. Or it might have been on later than that. I don't know. But I'm jumping ahead a little bit here. But what happens is ball played up to Fleming. Fleming gets, I believe, fouled. Don't know. You usually get given that. The referee doesn't give it. All of our players kind of stop and appeal. To be fair, some really good play from them. Releases Robbie Brady down the left-hand side. Robbie Brady plays a really good ball across the box. It misses out Cooper and whoever their central striker is at the time. It might have been Emil Reese. Coincidentally, no Chet Evans today. And finds its way to the back post where, again, Potts gets there ahead of Joe Bryan and fires it low and hard, and it's a decent save from Sarkic. But that's the best chance of the second half. Our most noticeable opportunity, we had two. We had two chances. Before I describe those, Edwards makes a double sub on 58, which I can't recall the last time I've seen this, where he took both central midfielders off. So he took off Billy Mitchell and George Honeyman and brings on George Saville and Casper De Noor. For me, in terms of the central midfielders, I think the difference in class between...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I mean, any of them, and Casper De Noor is evident. You just see it as soon as he comes on the pitch. He's another level. And that's not to say that others aren't as good, you know. So when I go on to talk about player performances later, I'm not saying that players didn't play well, but for me, Casper De Noor is just a different level to what we have in the centre of the park. But he makes those two subs on 58. We have two opportunities. So one was a really good bit of give and go between De Noor and Norton Cuffey. Norton Cuffey gets to the byline, squares it across the face of goal, and no one's following it up. Where is Kevin Nisbet, who at this point has moved centrally and Fleming went left in the second half? He's just not following up. You watch it. And this is the thing, like, where I've had a few debates with some friends, is that, yes, we don't create bundles for Nisbet. And I get that. Totally understand that. And you can't expect him to score goals if we're not creating chances. But he needs to make these runs. He's a central striker. It's a give and go. Norton Cuffey's got to the byline. Chances are he's going to cut it back. You've got to get yourself there. And no one did. So that was an opportunity. And then the second opportunity was Saville does really well to kind of sort of weave his way through a couple of players on the left-hand side, cuts the ball back, and Nisbet, first time with his left foot, fires narrowly over the bar. But they were our best chances. I think that one was on 71. And then we make another substitution on 78. We see the introduction of Michael Obafemi. Personally, really delighted to see him there. I think he's everything we need in terms of athleticism, pace and power. Clearly not fit. Maybe he'll get a few more minutes next weekend, but I'm really excited by his signing. He's exactly the sort of player we need. And I've got a good feeling about him. And although he didn't really have much involvement when we came on, and that's because we didn't really create anything, There was one time where the ball sort of played over the defender and he made up about 10 yards on one of their centre backs like that. So he really is rapid and he's going to give us a different dynamic. So looking forward to that. It's a bit of a weird signing in the sense that I can't imagine he's cheap. I can't imagine we got him for free on loan. I would imagine we'd have paid a loan fee. But yet, I still don't really think we're going to go down and we're certainly not going to go up. So it's like, why are we doing that? And I'm not criticising that, by the way. I think it's brilliant. I think it's great intent. I'm just trying to understand the rationale behind it. And maybe there's something in the Burnley and Fleming link. Maybe. Don't know. But we'll... I'm sure we will find out in the summer, but I'm really hoping that Michael Oberfeld becomes good. He, from all the interviews and things, he seems right at home. I think he's London-based and a lot of his family are. So that could be a good one. So, but the game sort of fizzles out. The referee, he let a lot go, particularly in their favour today. I'm not one to sort of really criticise referees because you deal with whatever is on the pitch, right? But I felt that the referee did let a lot go. And then the game finishes 1-1. And look, you know, from a Preston's point of view, I know a lot of their fans don't enjoy Ryan Lowe. And I think it's very, very similar to how we felt with Rowett. I think, ultimately, they're 12th in the league. And looking at them and the way they play and their quality, I would say they're one of the worst sides I've seen down the Den all season. However, it's effective. And this is what I say, it really is very, very similar to, I think, how we played under Rowett. It's boring, pragmatic, defensive football with not that many stars, but it can be effective, particularly away from home. So, and I think for them, they've had a poor run. So getting a point away from home is probably a good thing. And they wasted a lot of time. I think Freddie Woodman did end up getting booked. And if I'm not wrong, Freddie Woodman is actually a Millwall fan and comes from a Millwall family. So he would have known just how much wasting time would get on our nerves. And it certainly did. But the crowd tried to lift the players at times, but nothing really seemed to work. And we end with a game 1-1. And looking over our shoulder today, QPR Huddersfield has just also finished 1-1. So neither team has gained any ground on us. So look, that's where it is. It's a weird one because for me, the couple of key takeouts would be, the first one would be we let our heads drop too much when we concede a goal. It is so apparent and we lack leadership, which is really, really poor. We've got to address that. And in the summer, we have to sign a leader. That's very, very difficult to do at this level, but we need to do that. That's the first one. The second one is we did dominate the game from a statistic point of view. But we didn't really create enough. We didn't really carve them open and test their goalkeeper. That was the second one. And a third one, to kind of leave us on a positive, I think that was Zian Fleming's best game for a long, long time. He enjoys playing against Preston. And I thought yesterday he was very good and deservedly got man of the match. And he would be mine of the man of the match too. I felt he worked hard, obviously scored the goal. A couple of opportunities that we did have half chances. He was always involved. I think he was our best player by quite some distance yesterday. Performances, I'm not going to go through the whole team, but I think Tanganga looked very accomplished defensively. I thought his passing, despite stats, apparently, I've read a tweet from Richard Cowley suggesting that he had the most touches and most completed passes. I don't know, maybe I was watching a different game then, but I felt defensively very accomplished, but his passing, I thought, was very poor. He's probably just rusty. And you can tell that he's got that power and athleticism. And I think he's going to be a good player. But ultimately, we have to hold our hands up and say that I think he did probably cost us that goal, that equaliser. Another thing, at times, I just wanted him to do something simple, whereas it felt like he was like, oh, I played at a higher level. I can get myself out of this. And at times he did. But I think we might just need to be a little bit patient. I think he's a little bit rusty at the minute. But that's Tanganga. I don't know. He great squad player to have, you know. Probably the closest thing we do have to a leader that started yesterday. Obviously, Saville didn't start. But I'm not sure. I think there's a big difference between him and Hutch. Cooper's not the same player when he's captain or when Hutch is not there. It was okay. Joe Bryan, do you know what? If you could have Joe Bryan and just have him going forwards, he's a very good player, but defensively, it's almost like he can't be asked. It's weird. He's lethargic, is the way I describe him. I can't get my head around it. And I don't think we have the same issues when we play Murray Wallace. Don't know. Can't make my mind up. Brooke, I think he did some good things yesterday. Was often an outlet. You know, most of the chances, you know, you look at the goal, the Billy Mitchell chance in the second, in the first half, the opening he created. He was involved in pretty much everything we did well. Couple of balls that he played weren't great, but I really like Brooke, and I think he's just going to grow and grow. And I don't think he had a bad game. Honeyman and Mitchell, again, I don't think they have bad games. I just think Denore's better. And it's not a criticism. It's not to say that either player's poor. I just think Denore's better. And if Denore's fit, he should play. I think it's very easy to criticise Billy Mitchell. And I thought yesterday, he often gets the ball, especially the way we're playing now, back to goal in a tight situation. And then people complain when he passes it sideways. To me, that's success because he's retaining the ball. He gets the ball, usually with at least one man on him, back to goal. And yet he's able to retain the ball. So yes, a lot of his passing is sideways, but I think you've got to look at a slightly bigger picture. Having said all that, I still would start Denore over him. And that's just where I'm at, to be honest. Homerun's okay. Saville come on. Didn't really impact the game. Made a couple of sloppy passes as well. But maybe, again, that's just match sharpness. I have a feeling we may see a very different central midfield start against Hull next week. And then the front three, I've already talked about Fleming. Nesbitt, I don't know. In the first half, he was okay, but quite ineffective down that left-hand side. I mean, he's not got much pace. So to play him down the left, I felt was odd, to be honest. I thought it was an odd call from Edwards. I thought Fleming was very effective through the centre, which maybe you have to take that. And then Longman, he's not a forward. Works very hard. But he's best when he literally just has the ball out wide, gets the ball out of his feet and whips, tries to whip a ball in. And because he works so hard, he's not so bad defensively. But going forward, he doesn't impact games enough. So for me, he just shouldn't be playing there. But I also appreciate we didn't really have much else if he doesn't trust SA. Talked about SA, talked about Saville, and I've talked about Obafemi. So I think that's really it in terms of the review of yesterday. We've got some tough games coming up. We do find ourselves 9 points, well, 8 points plus goal difference clear of the bottom three. So we'll probably be fine. But I think, you know, we do need to start picking up the odd win here and there because we don't really want to be looking over our shoulder. And we do really want to concentrate on building for next season. So, yeah, look, there's a week left. Not a week. It's not a week at all. There's about 3 or 4 days left of the window. I would expect probably one more to come in. Don't know who that is. But I would imagine Campbell will probably go. And then depending on who comes in, we might see maybe a loan for SA because I think he just needs to play games now and have some constant minutes. So yeah, slightly shorter this week because there's not really much else to say, to be honest with you. Yeah, onwards and upwards. Suppose we didn't lose. It's another point. But they're the sort of games that against poor, out-of-form sides, you've got to be winning at home. And I think you know, all the players and Edwards will be disappointed that we didn't. But look, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening, as always. Much appreciated. Please do like, subscribe, all that kind of jazz, and support the channel. I really appreciate it. And look, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.